1, 2.
Welcome to Two for the Road, movies with Matt and Adam.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Adam. We are a weekly movie discussion podcast. Every week we'll pick a theme, recommend a movie the other guy hasn't seen based on the theme, watch, and discuss.
Yes.
And we have about a 25-year age gap between us, so lots of differences in taste and exposure. So in honor of 420, which was yesterday. We decided to watch a couple of stoner movies.
Right.
I was looking online for like lists of stoner movies, and I get the obvious like Cheech and Chong. Mm-hmm. But other than that, there's some stretches when it comes to what is and what isn't a stoner movie.
Yeah, I think, one of them we watched today is clearly a stoner movie. The other one has stoner in it, but it's not really a stoner movie. People who were stoned couldn't follow it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. so we'll get to that. That was Inherent Vice. We'll get to that later. I think it's fitting that we are, what's more stoner than being one day late to do your stoner movie podcast? So in the true spirit of stonerism, I guess. So our first movie is Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Go to White Castle. That's called Harold and Kumar
Go to White Castle. Yeah.
Okay. Shocked that you've never seen this, but I think it makes sense.
Yeah,
I think maybe you haven't checked out many comedies post 1985 or something.
Yeah, there are not many funny movies after 85. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know why. I don't know why I've never seen this. Because I like Cal Penn a lot, and I don't know. I just never got around to watching it because I'd seen all the Cheech and Chong thing or a couple of them, and it's just okay.
So what's your, how do you know Cal Penn if you don't know from this?
He was on House.
Oh, okay.
He played a doctor for a couple seasons or a season or two, and he was really good. Mm-hmm. And I've seen him in different things around, but he was really good in that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this movie was kind of interesting when it came out. I think it was 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds kind of weird to say now, but at the time, I can't think of a movie that opened with two leads that were not either two white guys, two black guys, a white guy, a black guy. You know, like, it's always
Asians, East Asians, nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, no East Asians, no Indians. I mean, it was pretty different in that regard.
Yeah.
And these two guys,
John Cho. Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, he's gone on to make some pretty fantastic movies in his own right. Mm-hmm. Specifically, this movie Columbus, which you should watch eventually.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, he did that. I think it was from 2015, 16, around there, a couple years ago. And I think Cal Penn, was he in the Obama White House?
Yes, he was a speechwriter for Obama. Okay, so. And it was kind of cool because, in the movie, he's wearing a Bush t-shirt, Bush president t-shirt. And
Yeah, I love Bush.
Yeah.
Pussy, not the president.
Right.
Great t-shirt. So, Matt, what did you think of the movie?
Well, first of all, I watched it with Gloria, and I was having a pretty rough day as far as health, physical. I was really sick. So I ingested a little brownie before I saw this.
I think that's appropriate.
It was. We both liked it. We thought it was funny. I mean, there's some things I'd cut. I think sometimes they get too raunchy. I didn't appreciate it in this movie, you know, but they were pretty funny. We enjoyed it, and Gloria kept saying, I don't believe this, how can they get in this situation? I said, it's a stoner movie, what else are they gonna do?
I don't think that they could actually ride a cheetah down a mountain.
No.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I like picking apart the logic of Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Right. But no, we really enjoyed it. I don't remember a whole lot of it. It'll come back to me. We actually watched Harold and Kumar Go to Guantanamo Bay last night.
Okay.
Well, so we started watching it the night before, and it wasn't funny. Uh-huh. So last night, another rough day for me, so eating a little more brownie. We watched it, and it wasn't bad.
Yeah, so they did the Guantanamo Bay, and they did the Harold and Kumar Christmas.
Yeah.
So I guess, I mean, these dudes were eating off the Harold and Kumar franchise.
Yeah, it's you know, sometimes you can find the Harold and Kumar Go to Amsterdam title, but it doesn't exist. It's Guantanamo Bay, I guess. Or they had an alternative.
I think the Go to Amsterdam is like a short.
Oh, I think so too.
Kind of a video short.
What would have happened? Mm. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you like it. When were you in?
Oh, pretty much all the way. I just, you know, just had some laughs in the very beginning. I said, okay, let's go with this. It's funny, you know, cool situations. But how about you?
Yeah, watching it the second time, I thought it was probably funnier than mm-hmm. I did the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first time, the first time I watched it, I was 24, and I wasn't stoned, but I was probably wasn't sober either. And it was more like the bombastic things, and I probably appreciated like the raunchiness
mm-hmm.
At that time. But the second time watching it, I really liked these little like throwaway lines mm-hmm. that were like you. I mean, if you weren't really paying attention, you probably wouldn't even hear them. And I'll mention some of those later.
Okay, good, because I can't remember any of them.
But there was a lot of it that was just like really, really cutting and funny in a way that almost didn't match the rest of the tone of the movie. But
right.
Like, oh, wow, they put that in there. That's really, really kind of dark and also funny at the same time. So I like those little moments.
It was almost like somebody rewrote this a little bit and threw some things in. Somebody who, you know, not rewrote it, but just added things, like a script doctor or something.
Because
it was different.
There were some little moments in there where it's like, oh, wow, I mean, I'll get some later.
Okay.
And I mean, I was probably in, when I was watching this again, I was probably in for the soundtrack first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the music was so, I mean, I guess it was made 2004, but it felt so 90s to me. You know, it's like Black Eyed Peas and like MXPX and all, you know, all these kind of older hip hop. And I was like, wow, this is a really good mm-hmm. soundtrack.
Oh, good. I have no idea.
Yeah. But I was probably really in when Kumar's in the admissions office. And what's that guy's name?
Fred Willard.
Fred Willard's there.
The late great Fred Willard.
And their interaction was pretty good. It felt like almost like a throwback to like an 80s comedy or something, like a Rodney Dangerfield kind of scene. That's kind of what it felt like.
That was the scene that grabbed Gloria because mm-hmm. it was so funny. Because this guy was definitely a racist. And not like when he answers phone, or he's talking on the phone, he says, what part of getting high is, you know... He's saying stuff like that in front of this guy. Like, he doesn't want this job. He doesn't want anything.
Right. He's using all this, like, crass language and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, yeah. This is the movie I remember. I don't know about going through the plot. I don't know if it matters. I mean, these guys want to go to White Castle.
Yeah.
I've never been to White Castle. I've been to Crystal's many times. So I feel like I get it.
I've been to... Now I can't remember if it was a White Castle or... I think I've been to White Castle.
Well, White Castle's in, like... North of the Mason-Dixon line? Is that how they determine if it's a White Castle?
Maybe it was a Crystal. Or we used to call them Gristle. Gristle.
Were you in Florida? Where were you?
You're
in Florida. Definitely a Crystals.
Yeah, it was Crystals. Yeah. So, no, I don't... Can't you buy these White Castle burgers in store? But that's just not the same.
Not the same, man.
Yeah, no.
I've never been with... Yeah, these guys, they get high. And they decide they need the perfect food. White Castle. And they...
Yeah, commercial comes on and they go, oh, like Homer Simpson.
Yeah, and they decide that's what they need. And there's a subplot where Harold is got to get this work done that was dumped on him so these guys could go party. Mm-hmm. Also, he's in love with his neighbor. Kumar's getting pressured to do these med school interviews, but he's not so much into.
No. It's like getting into getting stoned. That's about it. Yeah.
Getting stoned and... You know, it is pretty, there's some raunchy humor, like their neighbors are watching a movie just so they can see a nude Katie Holmes. Pretty funny. So, we don't need to go through the whole thing, but are there any scenes that stood out for you? I have like several moments that...
Now, you can go ahead and talk about it. It'll come back to me. Oh, yeah, I like that.
All right. So, one of the so these are kind of in order as they go through. They take the exit wrong. They end up in Newark.
Oh yeah, I glare like that.
Yeah, and they see
people are getting beat up.
Yeah, they see these two guys like, hey, that looks like a lame version of us.
Yeah.
And these guys are walking on the street and then they just start getting beat up and the guys who are beating them up stop, look at Harold and Kumar, and they just keep going back to it. And you know, it's so over the top and a lot of this movie it takes a joke and then just keeps going.
Right. Right.
You know, other movies maybe would stop 10 or 15 seconds earlier, but it just goes on and on. It's like, it's funny, it's not funny. Okay, it's funny again.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a comedian that doesn't know when to stop on the joke, you know. Gloria liked that scene because she was born and raised in Newark. And well, she said, oh, yeah, that's it. I'm going to get beat up.
Well, this movie takes place totally in New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
Like Cherry Hill. And
Cherry Hill. She knows all those places, yeah. She knew it. She knew where the White Castle is. There's one in Cherry Hill, she said.
Oh, okay.
And that's what came out later with it.
I guess it's true to life.
Yeah.
And then so they go to where the White Castle used to be. It's now a Burger Shack.
Yeah.
And they meet Anthony Anderson.
One of his. Now, I know he was in a movie where he played. I've never seen it.
I think you're thinking of Good Burger.
Good Burger.
With Keenan and Kel.
Wasn't him?
No, different guy.
Oh.
This is the guy. Sorry. This is the guy who is the star of that TV show Black-ish.
Okay.
This is like one of his earlier things. I mean, this movie's full of cameos.
Yes.
I mean, the cameos make the movie, I think.
Mm.
It keeps it kind of interesting because people keep popping up.
Yeah.
So he's there and he has a, you know, freak out, screaming about, well, he wants to burn the place down. And
come on, Boogie, let's burn this motherfucker down.
Yeah. So that was great. Where do they go? Are they in Princeton? I guess that's one in Jersey.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They go to Princeton. For some reason, I can't remember. We see these two pretty British girls, and they're playing battle shits.
Hey, Clarissa, do you want to play battle shits?
That was a little bit over the top
for me.
That was a little
bit. I didn't, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Jamie Kennedy as his role of, honestly, do you know who Jamie Kennedy is?
No idea.
So Jamie Kennedy was this guy. He had a TV show around this time, maybe a little bit before. Called the Jamie Kennedy Experiment.
Okay, yeah, no idea. Yeah.
It was kind of like a hidden camera thing, almost like a punked, and he would just dress up as different characters and kind of, you know, Borat-ish kind of. So he played that guy Freak Show with the big boils on his neck.
I thought that was Christopher Maloney.
Oh, you're right. It was.
From Law & Order.
Okay, yeah. Well, I was thinking it was Jamie Kennedy.
No.
Yeah, yeah. So they meet Freak Show, and so he shows up and... yeah, that whole scene where he picks him up and he's singing gospel or whatever, made up gospel, and takes him back to his wife, and she's like, "Are you boys gonna, you know, do me?" And
okay,
yep,
yeah, he offers him his wife,
right? Yeah, go inside, have some lemonade, bang my wife, you know,
yeah,
chill out, relax. So that was great. They run out of there because he wants to join in. They bump into Doogie Howser.
Yep. Neil Patrick Harris.
He's tripping balls.
In a kind of a twisted role for him.
And, you know, this... I mean, I don't know what he was doing prior to this. I think he was maybe doing theater.
Uh-huh.
But this was like a John Travolta Pulp Fiction kind of situation. Because after this role, he starred in that TV show How I Met Your Mother, right?
Yeah, How I Met Your Mother. He was the star, really the star of that show.
Basically playing the same character,
yeah.
Right? Like a womanizing kind of scumbag.
Yep.
Another great scene where they go to... jail.
Yep.
And Harold's in jail because he punches a cop, and he's in jail with this black guy who arrested for being black.
Yep. Yeah, he said, "What are you in here for?" "I'm black."
Mm-hmm.
Gary Anthony Williams, who I know from another show.
And then right after that, there's another great scene where Kumar finds a bag of weed, and he has this kind of like they have this montage of where he's like, you know, in love with it. They're like holding hands and spinning. They're getting married. And again, it just keeps going and going.
Yeah.
It goes to where like they're married and like he's stressed out over finances and he's yelling at the bag of weed like, "You're a whore." You know, and so
The bag of weed shows up in the second movie too, in another dream.
All right.
That's the one thing that I think Gloria and I both thought that was, we don't need this. That's kind of stupid.
And then, they ride a cheetah, they hang glide, they end up at White Castle, they get their burgers, bumps into the dudes who gave him all the work, realizes they were, you know, pulling one over on him, tells him off,
Mm-hmm.
Gets the girl.
Happy ending.
Yeah, end scene, right?
Right.
Yeah, so that's basically the movie. Oh, it's that guy. I mean, everyone in this movie is, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah, and Ryan Reynolds plays a nurse. A male nurse. Mm-hmm. Like, but Gary Anthony Williams, the guy, the African-American guy who was in the jail, he was on Boston Legal as a reoccurring character. That he was so shy, except when he dressed like a woman. So he was he was really good as a receptionist if he was dressed as a woman. But they tried to make him not dress like a woman, and he was too shy. He was good in it. But that's the one guy I recognize.
For me, it's the Harold had two sort of people above him in the company. They're both kind of jerks.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was a little bit like dragging his feet to be a jerk, kind of the nicer of the two.
Yeah.
Ethan Embry, he's my oh, it's that guy.
Oh,
he was into like 1990s classics. I don't know if they were made in the 90s, but they just when I think about 90s movies that like make me like what represents the 90s, Can't Hardly Wait, and Empire Records.
Okay, yeah,
they're not great movies, but if you were a teenager in the 90s, you probably love these movies.
Who's in Empire Records?
Oh, that's a good question. I think. The person who's in that movie that is the biggest star now is probably Liv Tyler.
Mm, okay. I've never seen it.
Yeah. I was trying to think like how to explain the plot to you. It's a record store, which is already outdated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like a kind of a washed up star is coming there to sign records or CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like preparing for his arrival. And that's it. Like there's like little interrelationships that are happening.
Yeah, I see the list of people. Renee Zellweger's in it.
Oh, right. Okay, I forgot about her.
Anthony LaPaglia, who has had a couple television shows and stuff. So, yeah. Debbie Mazur, she's another one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cute movie. And Can't Hardly Wait is like one of the classic of all time high school movies. It's kind of like Dazed and Confused, where it all takes place in one day.
Yeah.
It's like the last big party to end a high school year.
That's what Empire Records is one day, right?
I think
that's what it said. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So shout out to that dude. I don't know what happened to his career. It seems like it kind of went downhill after that. I'm sure he's had plenty of work, but it seems like he peaked.
He's still working.
Yeah.
He was in Sneaky Pete, which I saw. I didn't recognize him. So he was Pete Murphy.
But he
was. Oh, he was the real Pete.
The real Pete.
But you generally only saw him on the telephones.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's not the sneaky Pete. He's the real Pete.
He's the real Pete. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those guys. Who do you think stole the show?
Neil Patrick Harris. Come on. There's no question. He was wild.
Yeah.
Delivering those lines just like he was meant to.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's great. Can we get going? I'm bored as shit back here.
Dude, I humped every piece of ass ever on that show.
Even the chick who played the hot nurse?
No. I didn't go all the way with her.
Dude, I don't even know where the fuck I am right now.
I was at this party earlier tonight, and some guy hooked me up with this incredible ex, and next thing I know, I'm being thrown out of a moving car. I've been tripping balls ever since. Yeah, dude, you fascinate me. Forget White Castle. Let's go get some pussy.
Huh?
It's a fucking sausage fest in here, bros. Let's get us some poontang, then we'll go to White Castle.
No, Neil, you don't understand. We've been craving these burgers all night.
Yeah, I've been craving burgers too. Fur burgers.
Yeah, I was trying to, because watching it again, obviously I know it's coming, but when you first see it and he shows up, it's like, oh my God, what is he doing? Where's he been?
And they actually reference, are you Doogie Howser?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I banged every girl on that show. Oh, even the hot nurse, and he looks in the distance. No, I never went all the way with her.
Yeah, I love it when people play against their own type, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, everything, I don't think that he had a line that wasn't, absolutely perfect.
And again, he shows up in number two in the Guantanamo Bay. Again, hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Big part of it, so.
All right, Matt, you have any lines that stood out?
Why don't you go ahead with yours, okay. I'll find mine. No, I did have a couple, I just got to.
I like how this Stone Matt does not remember the movie.
I don't remember anything.
Again, these are some kind of throwaway lines a little bit. So there's this whole group of like extreme guys who just say everything's extreme. They drive a Jeep. They're just kind of jerks.
Essentially. Yeah, they're just jerks.
And so when we first meet them, they're just like yelling extreme, extreme. And then one guy in the background yells, "Let's go get some Mountain Dew." Just like, it's just so perfect. Because, yeah, of course these guys that drink Mountain Dew, they're
extreme.
Yeah, they're ridiculous dickheads. Yeah. And it's making fun of these people like this, also making fun of Mountain Dew. Loved it. When the guys are talking about Katie Holmes' nude scene, and they ask, "How was it?" And he says, "You know the Holocaust? Picture the exact opposite of that." when the cop is... They're trying to explain to the cop that Doogie Howser stole their car. The cop says, "MPH would never do that." I just love that. Referring to Neil Patrick Harris as MPH as if he... As if in this world he has a nickname and he's known and people are still talking about him. It was awesome. And then I think one of my favorite parts... So in the jail scene, when they're breaking out, the police rush in and think the black guy's breaking out. Mm-hmm. So they grab him and they're like, "Oh, he's got a gun." And he's like, "It's a book." And you hear a cop yell out, "Book is secure."
"Hey, Jax is trying to escape."
"What are you talking about? I'm just sitting here."
"He's trying to break free. Get him." "Stop resisting.
I need backup now."
"That's not a gun, that's a book."
"Okay, secure the book."
"Book insecure."
"Yeah, you bring this building here? What is this shit?"
Wait. "We gotta do something about this.
We're gonna teach you how to read now, brother."
If I were you, I'd leave as soon as possible.
"Okay, whose hand is that?
And they're just beating him, and a cop is opening the book like, "What is this?" So, this movie's from 2004. That joke could have been in a movie from yesterday. Mm. Just the ridiculous over aggression of the police, and book is secure. Yeah, that's probably my favorite line. How about you?
The ones I can't find them. The one is, have you seen a Korean guy around here? And the hippie says, "Yeah, only when I open my eyes, though."
Yeah, it's Princeton.
I'm sorry. Dude, am I really high or is this actually working? Both. Yep. Riding a cheetah.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know anything else. The direction, anything. I don't know what else. I didn't even keep
notes on this one. But I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it probably more than I thought I would have. And it was funny. The two leads were great. Neil Patrick Harris just sends it into orbit, and yeah, it was fun.
What was funny for you about it? Like, because you didn't like Anchorman, and I feel like, to me, these movies are not that different as far as the kind of humor.
Well, I think being so stoned as much as I have been in my life, I understand a lot of this, and especially in the second movie, Inherent Vice, that we saw, I think a lot of what I understand about his way he was, but I don't know. Maybe I just think that two stone guys are funny,
I don't think that this movie really relied so much on stoner humor.
No. Nope.
I mean, I don't smoke weed and I could appreciate it.
Yeah, they didn't really smoke much weed after the first 15 minutes. They kept losing it.
Right. I mean, there's movies like How High or Half-Baked, where like the jokes are all about weed. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you don't smoke, it's not that, it loses some of it. But this one, the jokes weren't really about weed, they're about other things.
Right. Or Dazed and Confused, where everybody's high. There's not really a lot of stoner jokes in there.
No. Not at all. I don't even really think of that as like a stoner movie. No. I think of that more as like a coming of age movie.
Yeah. What about Pineapple Express? Did you ever see that?
Yeah, that's very stoner.
Yeah,
I think you would appreciate it more if you were stoned and were pretty...
I think I tried to watch it. I didn't think I liked it. Maybe it's because I wasn't stoned.
I watched that movie in a theater completely alone in the middle of the day.
Oh, that's so cool.
Well, no, because I just like, when you watch a comedy, it's more fun to watch it with a lot of people. So, you watching this with Gloria has probably made it more enjoyable.
Right. And she always likes it because I laugh really loudly. And she's a little behind on the jokes, so she knows that there was a joke. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have to go back and show her the joke.
Yeah, because I watched this one, like drinking coffee at like 5:30 in the morning. It's like, it's still good. I don't know, as far as like a lasting influence. I mean, it gave Doogie Howser a second life.
Right. Yeah, it was his, you know, he turned it around. Yeah, he's probably had a pretty good career, but it wasn't on television and wasn't on movies, in movies at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was doing Broadway musicals, I think.
Yeah, I think he's a theater
guy. He's really good at it.
He's a song and dance man.
Yeah, he's a song and dance man. And in these movies, he's a pussy hound.
Yeah. God, he was so funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, so against type, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think this movie would have been any good if it hadn't been for him. I mean, it would have, but at a certain point you're going, okay, now they would have had to run the same jokes all the time, I think, if he hadn't have showed up.
Yeah.
I think he really made the movie.
Well, every time he's on screen, it's just electric. Mm-hmm. So when I was thinking of Jamie Kennedy, I had the wrong guy. So Jamie Kennedy played, when Kumar is taking a whiz on a bush, mm-hmm. and a guy suddenly just sidles up next to him. Oh, that was Jamie Kennedy.
Okay.
He's like, kissing him. Oh, you think this is your bush? But I can't be on this bush. What, you own the forest?
That was funny. He's in the middle of the woods. He's taking a leak and some guy just sidles up next to him. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I like the absurd humor mm-hmm. at times in this movie. Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know. I don't have much else to say about it. I think if you haven't seen it, you should definitely watch it.
It's funny. It was fun.
It's what, 85 minutes? It's not a long movie at all by any stretch.
And then go to Guantanamo Bay.
So you're advocating for the entire series?
I haven't seen the Christmas one yet.
Okay.
That'll be the next. That'll probably be the worst.
You're not going to save it for the holidays? Yeah, I imagine is it like the Hangover franchise where like they steadily get worse as they go?
Yeah, almost always do.
Yeah.
Almost always.
Yeah, I can't think of a comedy where the sequel is better than the original.
Definitely not Airplane.
No, well, that Airplane's just pretty good, but not better than the original.
Yeah.
Caddyshack, no.
No. Caddyshack's not really very good now. It didn't hold up for me at all.
No, it's not.
You know, Animal House never had a...
Maybe Short Circuit 2? I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Now we're digging.
I'm digging deep. Yeah. Police Academy 2, maybe? I
don't know.
Yeah, I'm thinking Police Academy 3 or 4 is probably better than 1. I don't know.
It could be. I mean, you get new writers and new directors and stuff and figure out more characters. But, generally speaking, I don't think the second one is, even the third or fourth is just usually pretty bad. So.
Right. It's just a paycheck. Everyone phoned it in.
Yeah.
Same old jokes, same bag of weed showing up.
Yeah.
Probably shows up in the Christmas version.
I'm sure.
Well, by that time, they're probably just, they think that's what the people want. Because, I mean, this movie is more like a cult movie, right? I mean, it wasn't a huge, well, maybe it was a huge box office success. I'll have to look that up real quick. But it wasn't, let's see, how well did it do? Well, it made $9 million. It's not bad. I'm sorry, $18
million. Huh, that's not bad.
In the U.S.
Yeah.
The budget was $9 million, so. That's how you get a number two made.
Yep.
All right, Matt, you want to get some scores here?
All right, I'm going to...
To IMDb.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say 7.
7.1.
Nice.
The people,
a little higher than I thought it would be.
Yeah. I mean,
the people have spoken, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you come in knowing what it is, I mean,
yeah.
If you look at the cover, it's two guys looking at a White Castle burger.
Yeah.
What do you expect? High art? And what do you think about Rotten Tomatoes? The critics...
Critics will be about 7.
74%.
Yeah, that's not good.
Not a huge fan.
No.
And the audience?
Like 90?
80.
Well, that's lower than, yeah.
Who are these people who are not pleased? All right, here are some negative reviews. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Okay, so to their credit, John Cho and Cal Penn do have a nice chemistry, even if they're stuck in a dead-end film.
Whoa.
That's not a very nice thing to say. There's an audience, this is from BBC, there's an audience that will appreciate this, but they may struggle to see it through the smoke. What does that even mean?
Oh, man.
Get over yourself, BBC.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so... you want to take a break here, and we'll come back, and we'll try to figure out what the hell happened in Inherent Vice.
Okay, sounds good.
Someday somebody's gonna make you wanna turn around and say goodbye. Until then, baby,
All right, and we're back. So our next stoner movie of the week is 2014's Inherent Vice.
P.T. Anderson, Paul Thomas Anderson, with another one of his large casts.
Paul Thomas Anderson, who, in my mind, previously could do no wrong, delivers us this movie, which, man, I had a really hard time getting through this movie.
And it's based on a novel by Thomas Pynchon.
And that's what I realized. Like, as I was watching, like, why? Like, they keep... So my issue with this movie is that I couldn't figure out what was important. And I still don't know.
No.
I don't even really remember the ending. I'm just like, all these people kept coming in and they would make reference to people like El Drano. And I'm like, am I supposed to remember that? Is that an important thing that's going to come up later? None of it ever does.
Mm.
And it's just like, what a mess.
Yeah, you know, this is the second time I've seen it. It was better the second time because I know a little bit about what's going around. But I don't think Paul Thomas Anderson cares. I think that's why he made this. I think that the way I was looking at the whole picture of Doc, who is played by Joaquin Phoenix,
mm-hmm.
and Bigfoot, the cop, played by Josh Brolin,
mm-hmm.
does this in every film, I think. Plays Bigfoot, the cop.
Well, I think this was his flattest of flat tops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I was watching this, and about halfway through the movie, I'm thinking, okay, this is kind of a Coen Brothers style. You know, they have a narrator,
yep.
who we're not really sure if it's real or not.
Yep.
And it's not Joaquin Phoenix is a woman who's mm-hmm. narrating this whole thing. We're not really sure. And then I realized, I said, this reminds me, because it's basically a P.I. movie.
Yeah.
It's not a stoner movie. He's stoned all the time. But he hangs around with a bunch of stoners.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the drug thing is a big part of this, but it's a P.I. movie, basically.
Mm-hmm.
P.I.s, cops, they don't really like each other. They kind of help each other sometimes, blah, blah, blah. But what it reminded me was... there was a Humphrey Bogart movie called The Big Sleep that is so incoherent that Howard Hawks, the director, I looked this up because I thought I remembered it. I looked it up. Howard Hawks, the director, actually halfway through the movie called Raymond Chandler, who wrote the original,
mm-hmm.
and asked him, he says, none of the writers can figure out who killed the chauffeur. And Raymond Chandler says, I have no idea either. He wrote the damn thing.
Okay.
So I think it was kind of an homage to, you know, the Big Sleep. Definitely, I think Coen Brothers are much more intelligent. You know, it's kind of in that style where you got this kind of bumbling guy.
I mean,
yeah. But it's not as funny.
Yeah, you say intelligent. I would say intelligible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I seriously could not follow this movie.
Mm-mm.
And I think part of not being able to follow it is I just didn't care.
No.
I mean, I don't care who... The woman who shows up at the beginning, who's missing, I don't care.
No.
No. She didn't really impress me.
There isn't anybody that you like. I like Doc a little bit. I could hang around with Doc, but, you know... But the way I see it, okay, this is what I gather, and I'm getting a little deeper than I normally do in movies.
Get deep, man.
And
get the shovel.
You've got Doc, who has used a lot of drugs in his life, right? He's been on heroin, I guess.
I would say is using.
Yeah, is using. But now he just seems to be smoking weed.
Well,
but he's off the heroin for now.
Okay, so, well, just real quick, what was the drug in Martin Short's office? Was that not heroin? Or was that cocaine?
I don't know what it was.
Okay.
It was...
They were snorting it.
I think it was cocaine.
Okay,
you may be right. Okay. But anyways, what I see is he's like the hippie culture. Because everybody keeps referring to him as the hippie, right?
He's literally a dirty-footed hippie.
He's always got his feet...
He's got permanent jiffy foot.
Ugh, it's just disgusting. And then you got Bigfoot, who... seemingly is in charge, but he's a mess. You know, he's on his way out because he emotionally he's gone. So to me, it looked like it was the end. 1970 was the end of the hippie. The Summer of Love was already 2 years ago. Now all the hippies are strung out on heroin. So that's all over, the whole Summer of Love. You've got Mr. John Wayne, Ronald Reagan here, cop. But that whole society's dying too. So it's just two cultures that are on their way out.
So what's left? Greed and corruption?
Yes. Okay. That's what happened. I mean, what else was there? You know, they, you know, this company learned, oh yeah, we can sell the heroin to all these kids, and then when they want to get off of it, we can open up these rehabs that are a bunch of bullshit, mm-hmm. you know, those kind of things. So it's all greed and corruption. No, anyways, it could be called incoherent vice.
I wish I would have had your little talk before I watched it. I think maybe I would have appreciated a different level. I mean. Again, I had to watch it. I probably stopped and started this 3 or 4 times mm-hmm. because I was drifting out of paying attention. I was like, I felt
the same way the first time I saw it.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw it again. It's still gibberish, half of it. You don't know who is who. They got all these nicknames and you know everybody has a history with each other and it's blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. But it was a little more enjoyable. But I'm not sure... I'm not sure if Joaquin Phoenix was the right person for this role.
Who would you prefer?
I don't know.
Because as you think about that, I thought he did pretty well because he seemed likable enough. And I mean, to be quite honest, he reminded me a lot of one of our mutual friends who used to spend a lot of time in the chair I'm currently sitting in.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, that really reminds me a lot of that dude pre-marriage.
Okay, yeah. Not anymore.
No, a little bit.
So
I think because of that mental connection I had, it made me like him a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's like, yeah, that guy. Yeah, I can see where he's coming from. He's a good-natured person who isn't going to buy into all the BS, you know, and is willing to live a lifestyle on the edge if it means being true to himself.
This movie, I think he was fine. Maybe it's just not a good role. I don't know. Mm. He was really good at like making faces and, you know, he did a lot of those.
Was it too understated? Would you want it to be like more over the top?
No, maybe I did like the understated part.
You want a Nick Cage?
Yeah. Jeff Bridges. No.
Well, okay. I'm glad you said Jeff Bridges because, again, as I was watching this, I was like, why do we need this movie?
Right.
The Big Lebowski already exists.
Yes.
Like, why am I watching this?
That's why I didn't say Jeff Bridges, because I thought he's already done this. It would be just a repeat.
I mean, it's stoner character, get mixed up in a plot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a narrator.
Yes.
There's a bunch of crazy characters that come in and out. I mean, it's pretty similar.
Yes, it's, yeah. This is not P.T. Anderson's greatest film, that's for sure.
No, I haven't seen all of his stuff, but it's the worst of his stuff that I've seen.
I think this is the third or fourth one that we've done on this show. I think The Hard Eight, Magnolia. Yeah. I don't think we've done Punch Drunk Love or any of those.
Not yet.
Okay. We will.
But yeah, this one is definitely a stinker for me. Just because I couldn't really follow it, and I'm not a dumb person.
No.
I don't think that, you know, you said, oh, the second time it's much better. Well, can I just watch a movie the first time?
Yeah,
and enjoy it.
Right. You know, you get it? Yeah.
You know, maybe that would make more sense. But, you know,
I'll never watch it again. Don't worry about that. But it's not like, oh, the third time's really going to be the charm.
Right. But, you know, he's adapting a Thomas Pynchon novel, and he's notorious for being incredibly dense and hard to understand anyway. So, I mean, I guess it makes sense.
At least 45 minutes too long.
Oh, that's another thing. This movie's way too long.
It's 2.5 hours almost. I saw that and went, oh, God, no wonder I didn't like it the first time.
Right.
It just keeps going and you you know, you get these scenes that go on and on, unnecessary scenes, like the scene at the house where Owen Wilson was. You know, he was hiding out as of some band or something. I mean, they could have done that whole scene somewhere else at half the time.
Or not done it at all.
Yeah, or not done it at all. Yeah.
What was the point of, I mean, what's the point of that?
I mean, because there you got Owen Wilson blathering about something like he always does. You know, you can't even understand half of what he says, you know.
Oh, I watch all the movies with subtitles.
Yeah. Oh, all, that's great.
All the
yeah.
time. Because mm-hmm. I can't, because some of the movies you watch, the sound quality is just so in and out. It's really, you know, yes. it's hard to mm-hmm. deal with. So yeah, I always have the subtitles on just because I am an old man who can't deal with it. Yeah, the whole Owen Wilson character, especially his wife. Do we need that? I mean, just so much of this, just like, yeah, cut it, get rid of it. But again, it's based on a book, and I'm guessing if, I don't know, if you're a fan of the book, would you like this movie? Maybe you hate it even more than we do because it's not long enough, you know? Maybe right. you want like the 5-hour version of this movie.
Oof.
With the Snyder cut.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I don't know. It didn't work for me. It didn't really make a lot of sense for me. Having said all that, like good performances, some interesting characters, some interesting moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Martin Short.
Martin Short was good.
Shows up for 8 minutes, and that was fun.
Yeah, yeah. You know, a lot of people in this movie. Reese Witherspoon is in it. All sorts of people that you go, okay. Of course, we mentioned Owen Wilson. Michael Kenneth Williams never comes back.
Who was he?
He's the guy that got out of prison and wanted the guy from The Wire.
Why don't you just say Omar from The
Wire? Oh, Omar.
Okay, yeah. Omar from The Wire's in it.
Yeah.
He's cool. Yeah, just...
Maya Rudolph.
Maya Rudolph is in it. Yeah, I wonder, I want to see the movie about the making of this movie. But I want to see like people on set going, what?
Right.
what's happening now? Why is this character acting like this?
This is the kind of movie that absolutely had to have a narrator. And even then it wasn't coherent.
Oh yeah. I mean, the narrator is basically giving like reading like astrology charts.
Right. Right. Yeah. Oh well.
Yeah. Nice try, PTA. But you fell a little short, at least in my estimation.
Yes. I agree with you. It's not, I'm not going to recommend it.
Yeah.
I'll have to, because I didn't watch it stoned either.
Oh.
Which is what I probably should have done.
Probably.
I might do it a third time, but stoned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just looking over my notes real quick, and I think I've hit everything that I wanted to mention. The last thing I wrote was, ugh, this was the hardest movie to watch.
It was terrible.
It's pretty hard to watch. Let's see, what else did I want to mention? So I had no idea even what era we were in until he opened a beer. I was like, oh, that's an old school beer. So I think we're in the 70s.
Yeah, it was 1970. It was the year. Okay. I think they said that early on, I think, somewhere. I don't know. Mm. Yeah, because it was kind of that half, like I say, is the summer of love is ending and... Now everybody's strung out.
I guess so. I mean, I didn't live through the era, obviously, mm-hmm. so maybe if I did, it would make more sense.
I smoked weed first time in 1970.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
People call you Doc?
No. They called me the Road Map.
The Road Map?
Yeah, because my eyes were so red.
Okay. So weird.
Your eyes look like a road map.
Yeah. To where?
Nowhere.
All right, Matt, I was taking notes on mm-hmm. like the plot of this movie and I just gave up. I think I gave up like halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I wrote was Shasta shows up again. So I don't even know when that was. So I don't even want to go through the whole thing.
Yeah. And then when she showed up back up, it was like, what's the point? You know, there's that one scene where they have sex, mm-hmm. which is like a 6 or 7 minute scene. Where it's uncut too, so it's in one scene where she's naked mm-hmm. and she's kind of, you know, hitting on mm-hmm. Doc and stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, 6 or 7 minutes. We didn't need it.
No. Yeah, it's not like a, man, I can't wait to see these two beautiful people get it on. Not really what I was thinking. Matt, do you have a, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah. Okay. What a guy named Martin Donovan showed up in the last 10, 15 minutes. He played Fenway, the lawyer who met with the doc to get the heroin back. He was at his club. They were sitting there having a drink. Okay. So the guy's name is Martin Donovan. Mm-hmm. And he was a mainstay in a director that I love, writes, did small movies, still does, Hal Hartley in the 90s. Made some great movies. And Martin Donovan's in a lot of them. So that's the one. I mean, there's everybody and their brothers in this movie.
Right.
So that's the one that really stood out for me.
It's funny you mentioned that scene. I watched this movie a day or two ago. I don't even remember it.
No.
I mean, I watched it sober. Maybe that was a problem, too. Yeah. I don't remember that at all. I think it's because I had to stop and start this so many times. Yeah, I don't have anything for that. Like you said, it's... I mean, Reese Witherspoon's there, but she's, you know...
Right.
It's not like she's hard to notice. I mean, it was kind of surprising. Benicio Del Toro.
Yeah, I was just going to mention him. He shows up.
He's an interesting character. Like, I want more of him, you know?
He was the most interesting character in the movie, I think. Because we didn't know what he was about. He was a lawyer.
Yeah.
But who was he? Whose side was he on?
He mostly practiced maritime law.
Apparently. Yeah, maritime law.
Yeah, he was interesting. Who do you think stole the show? You having trouble?
It's got to be... yeah, I can't name one. Anybody?
For me, it was Josh Brolin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
He was... Every time he was on screen, he was interesting. He was funny.
Mm-hmm.
He was... I mean, he was...
He was the comedy of the movie.
He threw himself into the role 100%.
Mm-hmm.
He's yelling Japanese at the guy.
He thinks he's Japanese.
Making his pancakes. He's sucking on a chocolate-covered frozen banana in a way that's like...
Very erotic. There's that one scene where they're riding together. And I love the look that he got. The whole way that he's just sucking on this thing. And Joaquin Phoenix is just giving him this side look. Like, what the... Because he looks like he's...
Oh, he's really into it.
Like, yeah, he's really into it.
He's fully committed. Mm-hmm. Fully committed to this role.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was great as a...
Yeah, you're right. He stood out.
He is my favorite. Do you have any lines?
Yeah, I got a couple. How would I forget something like that? As Doc says... And the deputy DA says, grass and who knows what else. Sportello. Doc says, I'm only a light smoker. How many joints have you had today? I have to check the log book. there's a kind of a reference to that wasn't that good. That's it.
That's it?
That is all we need.
You gave up.
Yeah, I gave up. Oh, no, there was it. Are you okay, brother? Doc says to Bigfoot, are you okay, brother? Bigfoot says, I'm not your brother. And Doc says, "But no, but you could use a keeper.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
The only one I have here is, I did suspect he was fucking his receptionist, but what dentist doesn't? Good to know.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't have anything about... Like, I mean, the direction was, I guess, fine. I mean, maybe needed an editor. I thought maybe, like, the set design was the most interesting thing as far as, like, how everything looked.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, walking into, like, the dentist's office and things like that. Like, the way things were set up, like, kind of the background was interesting.
And, like, all the shots from above... Or most of the shots... at the ocean were shot between two houses.
Oh, okay.
You can see the ocean, but it's these two houses are pretty close together. That's how we filmed it. Something, you know, you see that several times in the movie. So
yeah, I didn't notice that. Anything else you want to comment on about that?
Nope.
Yeah. My only lingering question is, how do you get permanent Jiffy Foot?
Oh man.
Cause I don't think this dude could, I mean, there's not enough soap in this world to scrub this dude's feet.
Oh, they're nasty.
Because he's not walking around barefoot. He's walking around wearing shoes.
Flip-flops, yeah. But
still shoes.
I don't think he took too many baths.
I guess not.
Too many showers, so.
How about you? Any lingering questions here besides what the fuck was happening? what am I watching?
Why was this mess made?
So here's something interesting before we move on to the scores. This was nominated for Best Writing for the 2015 Academy Awards.
Good Lord.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious what it was up against and who won.
Yeah, I don't think this movie was well received at all anywhere.
I don't think so.
No.
Okay, so that's a weak year for adapted screenplay. American Sniper.
Haven't seen it.
It's okay, but
yeah,
I don't remember the writing. The Theory of Everything.
That's
like the Stephen Hawking.
Oh God, movie. Yeah, that's awful.
Whiplash.
That was good.
I've never seen this movie, and then the winner is The Imitation Game.
Oh, that's the one about the code breakers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting, but not Academy Award. Yeah.
Down year for adapted screenplay.
Right. Whiplash was better, I thought.
Yeah, I guess so. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just was curious what it was nominated for. All right, Matt, you want to guess the scores here?
I'm going to guess 6-8.
6-7.
Oh,
pretty close. You're getting pretty good at this.
Below 7. That's all I knew. I was just going to guess.
Definitely below 7. I mean, this was it's a subpar movie.
I'm more interested in the other number. The
tomato meter?
Tomato meter.
All right, let's go to the tomato meter. What do you think the critics have to say?
I will say same thing. 6-7.
73.
That's a little higher, but it's still not good for the critics.
You got some people riding for their boy PTA, I think.
Mm, yeah.
I think this is, you know, Jordan in the major leagues. Like, hey, he's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what about the audience?
I will say 7.
52.
Ooh, that's really low.
That is very low.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the consensus, which we forgot to do for Harold and Kumar, but this is the consensus. Inherent Vice may prove frustrating for viewers who demand absolute coherence, but it does justice to its acclaimed source material and should satisfy fans of director P.T. Anderson.
Not really.
So, hey, listen, we understand if you want a movie that makes sense, you're not going to be so happy, but come on.
Yeah. Well, movies aren't supposed to make sense.
hey, I have another lingering question. Do you think Joaquin Phoenix is like fun to like hang around with?
No, absolutely not.
Not at all.
I think he's just a real jerk.
Who do you think was think about this set? Mm-hmm. Who do you think are the people who are like very chill, kind of laughing with the crew? You can approach him.
I bet you Brolin's like that.
I think Brolin too.
Yeah.
And maybe Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson's just, you know, he always seems like he's high, doesn't he?
I can see Owen Wilson being super chill, or I can see Owen Wilson like locked in his bathroom having a breakdown every other day.
Yeah.
I can see it going either way.
I can see Brolin like bringing six packs for the crew and stuff and just sitting down and having one at the end of the day or something. So, but Phoenix, what are you? He's a little strange.
I think he's one of those actors who's such a good actor, like he's lost himself.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Like what is a Joaquin Phoenix? I don't even know what that is.
I might be wrong, but he doesn't seem like the guy I'd want to hang out with.
Probably not. All right, Matt. So are anything else you want to say about Inherent Vice?
Nope, that's not worth seeing.
Yeah. I mean, if you really love The Big Lebowski, you're like, God, I've seen this movie like 20 times. I want something kind of like this, but a little bit worse and harder to understand.
Right.
This is your movie.
And not as funny.
Right. Not nearly as funny.
No.
All right, Matt. So next we're going to do like War and...
Aftermath.
Aftermath of War.
Yep. The Deer Hunter, which I'm very excited about.
And a movie from just a couple months ago, Cherry.
Okay.
Starring Spider-Man.
Okay.
All right. You want to get out of here?
Yep.
All right. Peace.
Bye.
He's a Philistine.
What's a Philistine?
It's a guy who doesn't care about books or interesting films and things.
Then I'm a Philistine.
No, you're interested in books and things.
No, I'm a Philistine.
You've been shitting in my yard.
I have not.
You want me to hold the chicken, huh?
I want you to hold it between your knees.
So, Jane, what'd you do here in effect to count boners?
It's fun.